Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that you've given to us to study your word. And as today, Father, we come before your throne, feed us the manna from heaven, we pray, in Yahshua's holy name. Amen. Greetings from the Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Guise, Tennessee. And today we're going to be studying a topic that I've entitled, What Victory Is Not? What victory is not? I'm going to begin this study with an impressive dream from the Spirit of Prophecy found in Second Testimonies, pages 594 through 597. An impressive dream. While at Battle Creek in August 1868, I dreamed of being with a large body of people. A portion of this assembly started out prepared to journey. We had heavily loaded wagons. As we journeyed, the road seemed to ascend. On one side of this road was a deep precipice. On the other was a high, smooth, white wall, like the hard finish upon plastered rooms. As we journeyed on, the road grew narrower and steeper. In some places, it seemed so very narrow that we concluded that we could no longer travel with the loaded wagons. We then loosed them from the horses, took a portion of the luggage from the wagons and placed it upon the horses and journeyed on horseback. As we progressed, the path still continued to grow narrow. We were obliged to press close to the wall to save ourselves from falling off the narrow road down the steep precipice. As we did this, the luggage on the horses pressed against the wall and caused us to sway toward the precipice. We feared that we should fall and be dashed in pieces on the rocks. We then cut the luggage from the horses and it fell over the precipice. We continued on horseback, greatly fearing as we came to the narrower places in the road that we should lose our balance and fall. At such times, a hand seemed to take the bridle and guide us over the perilous way. As the path grew more narrow, we decided that we could no longer go with safety on horseback. And we left the horses and went on foot in single file, one following in the footsteps of another. At this point, small cords were let down from the top of the pure white wall. These we eagerly grasped to aid us in keeping our balance upon the path. As we traveled, the cord moved along with us. The path finally became so narrow that we concluded that we could travel more safely without our shoes. So we slipped them from our feet and went on some distance without them. Soon it was decided that we could travel more safely without our stockings. These were removed and we journeyed on with bare feet. We then thought of those who had not accustomed themselves to privations and hardships. Where were such now? They were not in the company. At every change, some were left behind, and those only remained who had accustomed themselves to endure hardships. The privations of the way only made these more eager to press on to the end. Our danger of falling from the pathway increased. We pressed close to the white wall, yet could not place our feet fully upon the path, for it was too narrow. We then suspended nearly our whole weight upon the cords, exclaiming, "We have hold from above! We have hold from above!" The same words were uttered by all the company in the narrow pathway. As we heard the sounds of mirth and revelry that seemed to come from the abyss below, we shuddered. We heard the profane oath, the vulgar jest, and low, vile songs. We heard the war song and the dance song. We heard instrumental music and loud laughter, mingled with cursing and cries of anguish and bitter wailing. And were more anxious than ever to keep upon the narrow, difficult pathway. Much of the time, we were compelled to suspend our whole weight upon the cords, which increased in size as we progressed. I noticed that the beautiful white wall was stained with blood. It caused a feeling of regret to see the wall thus stained. This feeling, however, lasted but for a moment, as I soon thought that it was all as it should be. Those who are following after will know that others have passed the narrow, difficult way before them, and will conclude that if others were able to pursue their onward course, they can do the same. And as the blood shall be pressed from their aching feet, they will not faint with discouragement. But seeing the blood upon the wall, they will know that others have endured the same pain. At length, we came to a large chasm at which our path ended. There was nothing now to guide the feet. Nothing upon which to rest them. Our whole reliance must be upon the cords, which had increased in size until they were as large as our bodies. Here we were for a time thrown into perplexity and distress. We inquired in fearful whispers, "To what is the cord attached?" My husband was just before me. Large drops of sweat were falling from his brow. The veins in his neck and temples were increased to double their usual size, and suppressed, agonizing groans came from his lips. The sweat was dropping from my face, and I felt such anguish as I had never felt before. A fearful struggle was before us. Should we fail here, all the difficulties of our journey had been experienced for naught. Before us, on the other side of the chasm, was a beautiful field of green grass, about 6 inches high. I could not see the sun, but bright, soft beams of light resembling fine gold and silver were resting upon this field. Nothing I had seen upon earth could compare in beauty and glory with this field. But could we succeed in reaching it? Was the anxious inquiry. Should the cord break, we must perish. Again, in whispered anguish, the words were breathed. What holds the cord? For a moment, we hesitated to venture, then we exclaimed, our only hope is to trust wholly to the cord. It has been our dependence all the difficult way. It will not fail us now. Still, we were hesitating and distressed. The words were then spoken, God holds the cord. We need not fear. These words were then repeated by those behind us, accompanied with, He will not fail us now. He has brought us thus far in safety. My husband then swung himself over the fearful abyss into the beautiful field beyond. I immediately followed. And oh, what a sense of relief and gratitude to God we felt. I heard voices raised in triumph praise to God. I was happy, perfectly happy. And so we have an impressive dream, a summary of the travel of the Advent people. Where do you suppose we are? And I'm going to have a little bit of interaction with you. You can feel free to raise your hand and interact here. Where do you suppose we are at this juncture in that impressive dream? Any ideas? Yes?
Across the abyss, where we've got the big cord and the abyss.
I don't think we've traveled that far.
No.
I don't think we have bloody feet yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
I would say right after we've gotten rid of all the wrong numbers.
The horses.
Okay, at what point were the cords sent down? Okay. You see, the cords are the faith of Yahshua. The green cord she speaks of in a different place. We have received that message. We have the cord now. So we must be somewhere in the first part or the early part of having that cord. How far we've gone in that is not clear to me. And because we're walking in single file, some of us may be a little bit further back, and some of us may be a little further forward. But we're not too far apart at all, because we all have been given that little cord, that measure of faith that has now been turned into the faith of Yahshua. But we see ahead what we're faced with. And this dream prompted me to give this message on what victory is not. Because there were wagon loads of stuff, and we've unloaded our wagons. We've gotten rid of a lot of the baggage that was very, very difficult and impossible, really, to have in the Christian experience. But you see, for us who have now found those cords, we have quite a trip ahead of us. When we come to that abyss, that's when probation closes, you see. That great abyss is the time of trouble, that we need to swing across into that lush green land. Because it says we had to put all of our weight on the cord. We have no intercessor during that time. So right now, we're at the point where, I think, we're at the point where we are pressing against the white wall. We've seen the precipice, but we haven't really gotten to the place where we've almost fallen into it. We're about to the place where we need to take off our shoes, probably. We certainly don't have bloody feet yet. But after this sermon, you may begin to at least take off your shoes. Or if you have done that, take off your stockings. What victory is not? I have listed 4 basic categories, and these categories are all interrelated as well. The first one is wastefulness. Under wastefulness, I have resources, such as food, clothing, money, time, and words, along with health. Under the second category, I have labeled it negligence. Such things as procrastination. Under negligence, I have duty. Duty to God and duty to mankind. The third category I have is forgetfulness. And I have a list of scriptures for that category. The fourth and final category I have labeled arrogance or bragging. Or you could say arrogance and bragging. Now that I've given you the breakdown, wastefulness, negligence, forgetfulness, arrogance and bragging, these are things that are not part of victory. And yet, they are still as shoes on our feet. We're still walking in these things. Some of us, most of us, hopefully all of us, ignorantly. But we need to look very carefully at our lives and examine our victory to see if it's in the least tainted with the flesh. The scripture says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Yeshua, doesn't it? And we have such a powerful message of victory and joy and gladness. It is an encouraging message. It relieves us from the guilt and burden of sin. But we have to balance victory in terms of the real experience that this dream tells us about. Otherwise, we would think we were just flying in the midst of heaven and we didn't have to walk a narrow path. But we are called to this narrow path that's described in this impressive dream. And as it's described in that dream, it's called a difficult way. In the Bible, it's called a narrow path. And really, when you realize the significance of the cord that's been lowered down from heaven for us, it should not be such a difficult way, but because we're in sinful flesh, we still feel the difficulty of it. And we see the fearful precipice that is close to our side. Let's attack the first category of wastefulness and let's look at Scripture. Proverbs 18:9. Proverbs 18:9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. A great waster. Slothfulness and wastefulness are brothers. What about our resources? Well, let's look at Luke 15:13. Luke 15:13. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. This is speaking of the prodigal son, of course. He wasted his substance in riotous living. Now, those of us who are in the faith certainly are not in riotous living, but are we wasting some of our substance? We need to examine that. Let's look at Luke 16:1. Luke 16:1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. We don't want to be that steward that is accused of wasting that man's goods. Proverbs 3:9. Honor Yahweh with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Let's look at an example of how the disciples dealt with food in Mark 8:8. Let's look at that. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken food that was left, 7 baskets. So they picked up the leftovers. They didn't waste anything. They could have easily just said, well, we'll just throw it on the ground, let the birds have it, or fertilize the ground, you know. No, they didn't waste it. They picked up and kept what was left over from the miraculous feeding of the people there. Let's look at the true fast in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58:6-7. Isaiah 58:6-7. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? You see, this is the true fast. If we're wasting resources, you see, we're wasting that could be used for the true fast. Sometimes, perhaps I've been somewhat of a pack rat, because I've always been one to have this idea, I don't want to waste anything. I think there are ditches on both sides of the road. I think that if we become a pack rat, then we're hoarding up resources that need to be used somewhere. And some of it could probably be discarded. So everything I'm talking about today, you need to keep in balance. Don't take anything I say to an extreme. But don't flatter yourself into thinking, oh, I'm okay. You need to examine yourself very carefully. And I, too. What about the resource of money? Malachi 3:8. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And so our financial resources need to be rightly accounted for. And Yahweh asks us to be cheerful givers. He asks us to be accountable with our finances. What about our time? I could go into great detail on this, but all we have to do is look at the Sabbath commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That preaches to us. It tells us to remember how sacred time really is. Think about it. The day you live today, you don't get again. The things you do today, you don't get a chance to undo those things. The relationships you make or fail to make today, you don't have another chance at. That's why I live every day to the fullest. At my age, I look back and I see a lot of wasted time. But I can't get it back. I cannot make restitution. I can redeem the time by valuing the time I now have. The days ahead are all ordered for me. The Bible says so. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by Yahweh. Your steps are ordered as well. Your time is ordered. There are appointed times for worship. There are appointed times for work. There are appointed times for eating, appointed times for pleasure, rest, recuperation. Don't be a fanatic and say we need to be giving Bible studies all the time. Yes, we need time for Bible study. We need time for meditation and prayer. But we also need time for rest and recuperation. We need time for amusement. Now, I think various games that people involve themselves in are somewhat wasted time and effort. But there are nice amusements that we can involve ourselves in that are a glory to Yahweh. And sometimes if we're by ourselves and there's some kind of amusement that we enjoy that revitalizes our brain and something we enjoy doing, certainly I don't think we need to feel guilty about that, as long as we don't take that to extreme and become addicted to it and waste ourselves in it. So time is a resource that we need to value, and wasting time is not victory. I have quite a few scriptures about words. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. That's the prayer of David. That was the prayer of Yahshua, and it is our prayer as well. And that prayer is answered as we take heed to this message today. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Hasty words is not a part of victory. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. People babble on, and they sin with their words. Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. What about flattery? Proverbs 2:16. Proverbs 2:16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. That's the strange woman. We want to avoid that strange woman. We want to avoid flattery. It's not a part of victory. Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer, Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Gossip is not a part of flattery. I mean, gossip is a part of flattery, and gossip is not a part of victory. Now, warning someone against a false messenger is not gossip. Gossip is that which is unnecessary words seeking to tear down the reputation of an individual. It is a false report. It is a false witness. But to warn somebody against the error of someone's teaching, or to warn somebody about the evil of someone's character, if it's a true report, that's not gossip. Or in some situations among the elders, there might be discussion about an individual and their character, not trying to tear them down, but trying to come up with a way to solve the problem. You see, the motive behind what we're talking about in the manner in which we're talking is what needs to be considered here. Gossip is an evil. Flattery is an evil. That's not a part of victory. Proverbs 3:7-8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Proverbs 3:7-8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So now we're talking about health. We don't want to be wasteful with our health. If you're overweight, you can do something about it. If you have headaches, you can do something about it. If you have a health deficiency, you can do something about it. You can purpose in your heart, you can put human effort with divine power and overcome the health deficiency. Don't just say, well, I don't feel like it. I know I should walk. I know I should exercise. I know I should drink water. I know I should eat better. But I don't, because I don't feel like it. I'm too tired, whatever. Excuses, excuses, excuses. No, the Bible says when we have the cord down from heaven, we're holding on to that cord, we have the faith of Yahshua, we set our face like a flint. That means we are so determined that we would rather die than fail to do what's necessary to have the health that's required to glorify Yahweh. If you're pale, get that sunshine you need. Whatever it is that you need, purpose in your heart, set your face like a flint, and do it. You have the faith of Yahshua. You can accomplish that thing that you need to do. Don't be overcome by wastefulness. Okay, now let's turn to the next category. I call it negligence, which is really wastefulness is associated, cousins. Negligence. Let's look at Deuteronomy 23:21. Deuteronomy 23:21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Yahweh thy Almighty, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For Yahweh thy Almighty will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. If you are slack in fulfilling your word, it's a sin unto thee. It's not a part of victory. It's as procrastination. Joshua 18:3. Joshua 18:3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which Yahweh your Almighty, your fathers, hath given you? You see, when we have seen what duty is, and duty is the next word I wanted to bring into this part of negligence, when we see what duty is to take the land, Yahweh has given you the land, take the land. Yahweh has told you to lose weight. Yahweh has told you to get sunshine. Yahweh has told you to eat a better diet. Whatever it is Yahshua has told you to do, that is duty. Don't procrastinate in it. Don't be slack in it. Purpose in your heart. Set your face like a flint and go do it. You have the victory. Negligence is not victory. We have duty to God and duty to mankind. There are two great commandments. Thou shalt love Yahweh your Almighty with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Your duty to God and to man is summarized in those words. Actually, let's summarize it in another scripture in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Yahweh shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You see, we have the victory. And victory is fulfilling the whole duty of men. Let's go now to the next category, which I've labeled forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. 2 Kings 17:38. 2 Kings 17:38. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. We certainly do not forget the covenant that Yahweh has made with us through the blood of His Son that has ratified that covenant. We don't trample upon the blood of the Son of God. Psalm 88, 12. Psalm 88:12. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? The answer is no. Of course, this is speaking about, technically speaking about death being the land of forgetfulness. Actually, if you have a tendency to be forgetful, you're living in the land of death. But for those who may be tempted to discouragement right now. I'm going to bring in a promise. A change will be seen. Speaking of a converted person, a person that's walking in victory, a change will be seen in the character, the habits, the pursuits. The contrast will be clear and decided between what they have been and what they are. The character is revealed not by occasional good deeds and occasional misdeeds, but by the tendency of the habitual words and acts. From Steps to Christ, pages 57 and 58. You see, just because you forgot something last week doesn't mean that you're under the condemnation that I'm speaking of here. But what is the tendency of the habitual words and acts? What is the tendency of the life? That's what we're getting at here. So I just wanted to put that in at this opportune moment so that nobody starts cringing and saying, I don't want to hear any more of this message. As I said before, don't go into the ditch on either side and don't be extreme. Take this message as it's intended to be, within balance. But if you've had a tendency to be forgetful, nip that in the bud, repent of it, and walk. Don't fall in the precipice. Go closer to the wall and grab that cord more firmly. And maybe you need to take off your shoes now. Psalm 88:12 we covered. Proverbs 4:5. Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, we have been given a health message. We have been given diet reform. We've been given dress reform. We've been given these precious counsels to the remnant. Victory doesn't forget these things. We don't just inadvertently get caught up in a habit and let that habit drift us over into a condition of heavy meat eating or heavy dessert eating or whatever. We are careful, because if we drift from that white wall, what's going to happen? We're going to go down the precipice. The path is a narrow one, and we're at the point where we're taking off our shoes and maybe our socks. Some of us may have even experienced the beginnings of bloody feet. Hebrews 13, 2 and 16. Hebrews 13, 2 and 16. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, Yah is well pleased. To do good and to communicate. You know, I think this word communicate has a different meaning in the original King James, but I think it's apropos here to bring it down to the meaning that word really has. That word to communicate involves the right behavior as well. We communicate with our behavior. I know in the King James Old English, communication is talking about behavior. So we want to communicate to others a good behavior, and we surely don't forget to do that. We don't want to forget to be open and kind to strangers, to take them in, feed them, whatever. We don't just give them cash because we found that that's not necessarily wise. We will feed them, we will give them a place to live, We will help them find a job. We will help them learn to support themselves, to be self-sufficient. You see. It's been said, it's one thing to, how does that go? It's one thing to give a man food, but it's another thing to teach him how to grow his own or something like that. You know, if we teach a person to be self-sufficient so that they can no longer be a beggar, then we've done them a great service, haven't we? And last scripture for forgetfulness is James 1:25. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It reminds me of what Yahshua said, to be hearers, doers of the word, and not hearers only. Yahshua said, they are those who build their house on the rock and who have a victorious experience are those who do the deeds of my Father, who do the will of my Father. Those that do not do the will of our Father are not in victory. Now there's a last category as we sum things up here that is very important for us in this message. It's the category of arrogance and bragging. These things do not exist in victory. Although it will appear to many that we are arrogant because our testimony is of an unusual authority and a very strong nature at times. But be careful that we are not being arrogant and being braggarts. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:12. To balance this great message we have, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Doesn't that agree with that impressive dream? Doesn't it show that we need to be pressing against the white wall, against the promises of Yahweh? Doesn't it warn us that there is a precipice that we could fall into? Now, certainly, our affirmations are strong. As we claim the promises of Yahweh, that cord is getting larger and larger and larger, and finally it grows to a diameter as large as our bodies. But you see, we cannot be so involved with this thing that we forget that we're on a narrow path. And there is a precipice below. If we do not take care, we will misstep and fall into the precipice. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13:4. And I want to read this in the New American Standard Version. It really gets the point across better. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. I think that says it better than anyone can say it. And so, in closing, I have a couple of things to read from Spirit of Prophecy. Here, on the use of words. If you talk out your feelings, every doubt you express not only reacts upon yourself, but it is a seed that will germinate and bear fruit in the life of others. And it may be impossible to counteract the influence of your words. You yourself may be able to recover from the season of temptation and from the snare of Satan. But others who have been swayed by your influence may not be able to escape from the unbelief you have suggested. That unbelief, that speaking of doubt, is not in victory. How important that we speak only those things that will give spiritual strength and life. Steps to Christ, page 119. And then for our absolute closing, there's a reading here from Steps to Christ, page 126. And with this reading, I would like to offer an invitation to you today. I will close immediately after this reading, but my invitation to you today is to get a firmer hold on the cord that's been let down from heaven and take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Reading from Steps to Christ. The redeemed will be welcomed to the home that Jesus is preparing for them. There, their companions will not be the vile of earth, liars, idolaters, the impure, and unbelieving. But they will associate with those who have overcome Satan and through divine grace have formed perfect characters. Every sinful tendency, every imperfection that afflicts them here has been removed by the blood of Christ. And the excellence and brightness of His glory, far exceeding the brightness of the sun, is imparted to them. And the moral beauty, the perfection of His character, shines through them in worth far exceeding this outward splendor. They are without fault before the great white throne, sharing the dignity and the privileges of the angels. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this message. It is a most timely message. For there's a battle ahead. And we see the path ahead. It has been laid out for us by Yahshua himself. The impressive dream has been given to us, and other insights as well. And we fear not the path ahead as it narrows, because there is a cord sent down from heaven and held by Yahweh himself. Let us not forget. For in the impressive dream, it showed that many of the saints were perplexed. Many feared falling into the precipice. And we wonder right now, how could that be? We know that you are faithful, Father. How could it be that any of us could ever be perplexed or wonder about the difficult way? But perhaps we have not known what victory is not. Maybe we have not yet understood how narrow the path is going to become. And maybe we have not realized just how serious the walk is from here to the abyss. Oh, Father, let wastefulness negligence, forgetfulness, arrogance, and bragging be far from us. And may the faith of Yahshua that we have received by faith become a lighthouse to the world, to our community, to our church, and to our families, to our children, and to those that come in contact with us. Dismiss us now, Father, with your love, with your providential leading and care. For it is in the name of Yahshua we pray. Amen.
We love.